Welcome to the Word and Spirit Podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Before we join Reverend Greer, let me tell you about our website. RandallGreer.org is filled with information that is sure to be a blessing to you, including free downloads of MP3s, videos, Bible studies, newsletters, and other materials. That address again is www.randallgreer.org. Greer is spelled G-R-I-E-R. Now, let's go to Reverend Greer.
Satan has no right over me. I can shut the door to the devil and every snare he's got, and he have no right to come against me in my life and cause me to be a failure. If I shut the door, walk in line with God's word. It says in St. John chapter 10, verse 17, this is what Jesus said. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Look at verse 18. It says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, or I have the authority to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. In other words, we thought the devil killed Jesus. No, the devil could not kill Jesus against his will. Jesus could have done what he wanted to. He said, if I wanted to, he said, I could call for how many legions of angels? 12 legions of angels, and I believe my Bible says that's about 80,000. 80,000. He said, if I wanted to, because remember I think they said Peter cut one of the guy's ears off, you know, and Jesus said, put your sword up. He said, this is necessary for this to happen and take place, and if I needed some help, I could call on my Father right now, and he would send me 12 legions of angels, which would be, according to their mathematics in my Bible, 80,000 different angels to come and help him. Do you think that 80,000 angels could whoop some folks? I'm here to tell you, 80,000 angels, it wouldn't take but one fella come down and flop somebody upside the head, and it'd have been over with. But Jesus knew it was the plan of God. No man took Jesus' life. The Romans did not take Jesus' life. Pilate did not take Jesus' life. Caiaphas did not take Jesus' life. The Jews did not take Jesus' life. Jesus laid it down. He gave it for them, even though he knew they would be the ones to kill him. He loved them anyway. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the question we ask is, why couldn't man kill him? Why couldn't the devil kill him? Because he had no place in him. There was no claim. There was nothing out of ordinary in his life away from the Word of God that he should be. He lived his life dictated and governed by what the Word of God said. And because he did, it absolutely drew a line to the devil, and the devil cannot cross it. You can do the same thing. I can do the same thing. I'd like to tell you that I've been 100% perfect in that, but I'd be lying to you. But I'm working on it. You know what I mean? And I'm walking in the mercy and grace of God, and I'm headed in that direction. But I'm here to tell you can move over. You can make adjustments. Sometimes just minor adjustments will bring big changes in your life. See, can you imagine us? We took a pickup truck and went over there and got that thing. And put it in the back of the truck. You could see it in the red lights. People were pulling over to the side. You know, oh my Lord Jesus, what is that? These crazy folks. They got a coffin in the back of the truck. Oh Lord Jesus. But here we are. I think it was Brother Philip and I went over there and got it. Philip Barbie. Yeah. Went over there and got this thing. And what we done is, when we started the first youth service that night, they had the praise and worship band, the youth band, and their lights are going, you know, some kind of, you know, if any of these church around here, some of these folks in the sound department and the light, they're going to be something happening. Anyway, they had these things turned down, and the lights went off while we were praying. And through one of the doors around the front, they rolled this thing in on the stand. We had to stand everything. They rolled the thing in and set it right in front of the pulpit. And then when the lights come up, all the youth got quiet. I don't know if he was there or not. I mean, nobody. And so I began to ask Philip. He was in that thing with the lid closed, and we had a wireless mic on him. And I began to ask him what it was like to be dead, and talk to him what it was like not to receive Jesus. And he answered those questions, and it made people think, maybe we ought to get another one of them boxes and bring it in. But see, we don't want to think about things like that. We don't want to realize this. But I'm here to tell you, I believe this. I believe sometimes it takes more faith to die than it does to live. Now, it takes faith to live, don't get me wrong. Because you got to know you're right when you step across that line. Because once you go across there, regardless of what you've heard, because some say, people say there's something called purgatory. You know, you can pray your way and they'll pay your way and pay so much money and you can get out of purgatory. There is no purgatory. There is heaven or hell. But what the enemy tries to do is he don't want us to think soberly. He wants us to get caught up in the rat race of life and get so busy with life that we don't think about planning for the future. Our future is a better place than what we got here. Close the door to the enemy. Get things right in your life. If you got any grudges against anybody, you got any ill feelings against anybody, somebody's done you wrong, release them and let them go from it. Just get rid of that stuff. Why? It'll mess you up. It'll cause you to die prematurely. I know preachers, and I don't want to get on preachers, but I know preachers that's died prematurely just because of, you know, grudges and things like that. And I'm not judging them or knocking them or anything, just because that they wouldn't get some bitterness out of their life. Because they harbored things and to the point that it caused their body, they so stressed themselves out with this stuff and that they died prematurely. You know, and lately, I tell you, the ones I've been seeing going have been younger than I. And it makes me sober. Right. I don't want to get drunk no more. I'm here to tell you, on the world. Right. Or anything else. Brother, I want to get ready. I want to get real and I want to get right. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith or not. Unless you find yourself to be a reprobate, not one ready to meet the Lord.
Right.
Find it. I said, Brother Randy, are you trying to scare me? No. I'm trying to tell you the truth.
Yes.
Brother Hagin was told one time, because he was teaching and preaching about hell, because Jesus told him, you warn people about this place.
Yeah.
I encourage you. If you want to know a bit more about hell and what it is, they've got a little mini book right back here in this store. I think, I don't know how much it costs to...
Dollar
or something like that. It's called I Went to Hell. It's about a young man that was 16 years old. Wasn't he 6 years old at this time? That his spirit left his body and he went to hell. And this creature was going to escort him in the gate of hell. The creature was. He tried to stop himself. He said he left his body and he went down, 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 down. He said it became dark, dark as the darkest night you could ever see. He said it was almost so dark you could slice it with a knife and cut a chunk out of it. And then he could see the flames of hell down there, because the Bible says hell is beneath. Just reading your Bible, that little book will tell you all these things. Because I Went to Hell, I think it used to have a red cover.
It still does.
Still does, I think. But anyway, it's by Kenneth E. Hagin, little mini book called I Went to Hell. And this, he could see the flames of hell and the caverns and the regions of the damned. Because that's what the Lord called it. And while he was getting down there, he could see the gates of hell. And he said his eyes were fixed on those gates. And then he seen this creature coming towards him. And he said, somebody asked him, what did the creature look like? He said, I didn't take time to look at the creature. He said, I was looking at those gates. He said, I knew that if I went through those gates, that it would be over. For eternity, I would be lost and damned to the region of the damned in hell. And there were flickering flames all over there flashing on these gates. And this creature, he said he tried to stop himself and he was managed to slow his descent down just a little bit. But this creature grabbed him by the arm and he tried to pull away, but he couldn't. And this creature was going to escort him, he knew it, into the gates of hell. So his eyes were fixed on the gate, not looking at the creature. He said, but all of a sudden a voice spoke from way above. He assumed it was heaven. He said it wasn't in English. He said, but whatever words he said, that creature had to let him go. When that creature let him go, he said it was just like a vacuum cleaner or something vacuuming, and it pulled him back up. And he came up, I think, out on the porch. His spirit did, came up out of the on the porch in McKinney, Texas. Get the book. You need to read this. This is real.
Yeah.
Came up on the porch, and his spirit went through the wall, and his spirit leapt back in his body through his mouth. And his mama, he went to hell three times. And the third time, by the time he got back up, and the third time, I think he came up at the foot of the bed. It's the only difference in the experience. I believe it was beside the bed or something. He said, but he was praying so loud by the time that he was coming back up the third time and this creature had to let him go. He was hollering and telling, God, I've been baptized in water. God, I'm a church member. He heard all that and he found out just being baptized in water wasn't going to help him. Just being a church member wasn't going to help him. All those things are wonderful, wonderful, admirable things we need to do biblically. But there's only one thing that's going to make sure that you and I get through the gates of heaven and stay out of the gates of hell. And that's to be born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and dedicate and consecrate my life to serve Him. Because this world is not the real thing.
Yes, amen.
There's another world that you and I are warming up for.
Amen.
We're preparing for. God is letting us go through every temptation we can. It's the only thing I can think of. I thought, well, why does God let the devil stay here? Because if the devil stays here and you have to deal with him enough, you're going to whoop him right now. And he's not going to have an opportunity later. You're not going to be tempted later.
Amen.
To go and deny God, because you're going to whoop him now. Amen.
Praise
so
God.
Go ahead and whoop him and get it over with. Amen.
Amen.
And not in the sense that you got to whip him, but you got to do something in your life to tell the devil no in Jesus' name.
Right.
So when Kenneth Hagin came back and his spirit leapt back in his body, he said he was praying as loud as his voice. His granny was sitting on the bed holding him. His mama was on the front porch out there by the street walking back and forth praying for God and begging God not to let her baby die at 16 years old because he was born with an incurable disease. Medical science could not help him. But his mama was praying at the top of her voice. He said when his spirit came back into his body and his granny thought he was gone, he said his vocal cords, his physical body picked up his prayer in mid-sentence, and him and his mama between him and her both praying as loud as you could pray. Somebody said, I ain't praying loud. Well, you ain't never been to hell either.
Yeah.
You might pray loud if you've been to hell. You get serious praying.
Right.
Fervent, effectual prayer. I mean, you get fervent. Not that loud praying is going to help you, but when you get serious sometimes.
Amen.
He said they were praying so loud they stopped traffic for 2 blocks around.
Yeah.
And caused a traffic jam. And that's before the days of the 1930s now. Right in there somewhere, I guess, 1930s. So in 1930s, they didn't have all the cars that we got, but they caused a traffic jam. So I guess the cars and the mules and the horses run together. But people heard him for 2 blocks between him and his mama praying. But he said, I believe it's 10 minutes to 8 o'clock. Was that right? That he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he knew that he was going to do the will and plan of God. And of course, we know the story about how God raised him up off the deathbed. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun.
Amen.
There's a push on in this country to try to tell you there's no such thing as hell, but I'm here to tell you there is hell. There's eternal damnation for everybody that wants to follow the devil and his crowd.
Right.
God never created hell for his children. He created it for the devil. And if you're going to follow the devil, God cannot stop you.
Right.
If you want to do it because God created you as a free moral agent with the right of choice. You made the decision to come to this service this morning, but just as easily you could have went downtown and robbed somebody. You could have done it. And it wouldn't have been God's fault because you are a free moral agent. You can choose what you want to do. And so in this day that we live in, yes, it's sobering. We don't like to hear this, but we got to hear it. There is a hell. And it's eternal damnation when you close your eyes in death, as we call it.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. I just want to take a moment to tell you about two of Reverend Greer's products available on our website. First is his personal testimony, Escape from Hell, which details the events that led up to him miraculously being released from prison, receiving a full pardon with the right to own a firearm, and stepping into his calling of God. This is available as a book, CD, or DVD format. Second is Reverend Greer's second book, How to Change Your Life. This book will show you how to bring permanent change in your life through the power of God. And once you've changed, change will bring success. These products, as well as many more, can be found on our online store at www.randallgreer.org or by writing us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 140516, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma 74014. Thanks for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us here next time as Reverend Greer brings forth the Word of God in Word and Spirit. And remember, God is with us.